Hello and welcome to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's episode is presented by Greg Stanford, the children's minister of the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Greg's message. Good morning. Am I on? This is my first time to wear the rock star microphone. It's pretty cool. I feel like a Backstreet Boy. My name is Greg Stanford, and I'm the children's minister here, and I've been here about 14 years, and every 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years, I get brave and I step up in the pulpit to talk. And so, let me warn you, I am not a preacher. I'm a children's minister, and so I hope you'll take that into account this morning as we look at God's Word and see how that applies to us. I've got two guys that are going to help me. If you do not have a pair of 3D glasses, if you'll raise your hand. These guys are going to get you a pair of those. You might as well have fun with the rest of us. You know, in 14 years, I've learned a lot of things that I never thought I did. I know what a diaper genie is. I know where to find wet wipes in Walmart. I know not every little brown thing in the nursery is candy. Yeah. The other thing that I've learned being a children's minister is how incredible God's Word is and how powerful the stories are. And really, as a children's minister, that's where I spend a lot of my time, is teaching from the stories. The other thing I've got to remember this morning is I cannot walk outside these bushes, I've been told. And so if I'm way over there, y'all wave and get me back in the middle. Otherwise, I'm going to be off the video because I'm a walker. But I was born in a pre-Ritalin world. If you don't know what Ritalin is, that's what they give the kids that have ADD. And I don't know if I did not have it as a child. I may have, I may not. But definitely have it as an adult. And so I need something that kind of keeps me focused and keeps me going. And so this morning we're going to use an analogy that's going to kind of hopefully keep me focused. Maybe it'll make things a little bit more interesting for you as well. How many of you have been to a 3D movie lately? Or even seen a 3D picture? Okay. You know that in years past, you know, we wore the, kind of like the ones you've got this morning, the red and the green things. Nowadays, they've upped the technology. And so you get to wear the, you know, the cool sunglasses kind of things. You know, but basically they do the same thing. Basically, it's the same technology. The red and the green lenses did the same thing as these do. They basically take the idea of this two-dimensional image, this 2D thing, which is really a flat image, and helps us give some dimensions to it. So 2D, if you look at the screen, you'll see, you don't need your glasses yet. I know this is going to be challenging this morning. You're going to see a circle and you're going to see a square. That's flat. That is two-dimensional. What 3D does in my small unscientific brain is it adds some dimension. It gives us a new perspective as we see a picture. It gives us depth. And so if you look at the same images in 3D, you wouldn't see a circle, you'd see a cylinder. And you wouldn't see a square, you'd see a cube. 3D gives us that illusion of depth. And that's what it does. And so this morning, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about what it means to live the Christian life in a world that is not Christian. And so the title of my lesson this morning is Living 3D in a 2D World. Living 3D in a 2D World. You know, if you're involved with people at all outside of the church, and I hope you are, you realize that there are some people who just refuse to believe in a God and a Christ. There are some people who just don't know. And there are some people who will tell you, we really just don't care. And so this morning, we're going to talk about those people that are living in a 2D world. Because for them, what they see is what you get. That's all there is. But I'm going to challenge you that as Christians, we are to live 3D. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 tells us that we live by faith, not by sight. So this morning, we're going to challenge you to think in a different way. I'm going to challenge you to see God's world in 3D. So throughout the morning, we're going to do something. I'm going to put some slides up on the screen. and they're going to be a little blurry, and so you can pull out your glasses, and hopefully you'll get a chance to see them in 3D. So here's what I want to do first, because somebody told me that I cannot do this lesson and give everybody 3D glasses and not take a picture. So everybody put your 3D glasses on. You guys don't know how incredible that looks. All right. Hope this has an anti-shake feature. All right. Say cheese. All right. You guys are awesome. You know, as a children's minister, like I said, I spend a lot of my time telling Bible stories. And the cool thing about Bible stories is they are 100% truth. That's my world. Bible stories are 100% truth, and so we can learn so much from Bible stories. We see so much of God's incredible nature. And guys, I'll give you a hint. The God of the Old Testament, who did the incredible, is still a God today. He is still doing incredible things in our lives. Some of the stories in the Bible give us a peek into this 3D world. Some people kind of got to see some of the things in a different perspective that we don't all get to see. Those stories are amazing. And so this morning I want to share a couple of those stories that kind of give you an idea what it means to live life in 3D. Living life following a God who doesn't have to play by the rules that he set up for us to live. All right, so our first slide, we're going to try to do a demo real quick. We're going to put our demo up there. What you're going to notice is that without your glasses, everything is a little bit blurry and a little bit fuzzy. Okay? And so the first thing you notice is your glasses clear up the image, and we can see clearer. Okay? Also, depending on where you're sitting, how good your eyesight is, and how good our projector is, you're going to see some added depth to the picture. You're going to see things with a new perspective. That's what living the 3D life is like. And that's what God did in the lives of some of these people. He allowed them to see clear, see things that weren't there. So we're going to get started this morning, and we're going to talk about Moses. Moses, by far, is my favorite Bible character. One thing I love about the story of Moses is that we see a picture from birth to death and so much in the middle. Moses' life was incredible, but mainly because of the relationship that he had with God. The conversations and the things that Moses did were incredible. But we're going to... Do you know I've said incredible like 100,000 times already this morning? Because our God is so awesome. One of those incredible things that God did was he parted the Red Sea. And that story is very powerful. It's found in the book of Exodus. Let me kind of give you a brief overview of the story of Moses and the Exodus. You see, God's people were prisoners in Egypt. They were slaves. They were forced to do hard work. They had no freedom. And God sent Moses to lead these people out, to deliver them from the Egyptian king and the slavery they were in. And so they get out of the land, they escape, and God leads them around. And he leads them right up to the Red Sea. Okay, there's this huge body of water before them. And they look back, and here comes the Egyptian army. Okay? Now God knew exactly what he was doing. Because if you read through the story of this, God's purpose was to show his people and to show the Egyptians the glory of God. He kind of set up these people so they could see how powerful he was. And so the story tells us that God led the people to the Red Sea, and they started to look back, and they started to panic, and they kind of lost their focus on God. Now, if you've not read the story, you may not know this, but God was actually physically with them, leading them with a cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire in the sky at night. They could see God's power every minute of the day as he led them. But already they're in a panic because things aren't going their way. Because God is God, but here comes the army. And so God says to Moses, you need to get up and go. And he instructs him to stretch out his hand over the water. And if you've seen The Prince of Egypt or Charlton Heston, you see that imagery. The imagery is incredible because God splits the water, and there's a wall on the left, and there's a wall of water on the right, and a group of almost or more than 2 million people cross the Red Sea on dry ground and escape the Egyptian army. After they've crossed the Red Sea and they're on the other side, God allows the Egyptian army to follow in after them. And the Bible tells us that he closed the wall of water down on them and he washed the army away. Okay? He rescued his people in an incredible, dramatic way. You know, God could have rescued them in a lot of different ways. He could have struck them, the army, with blindness and they just wouldn't have been able to see them, and the Israelites could have scooted away unseen. God did that with Elisha. He could have confused the army and had them fight themselves. God did that with Gideon. But God wanted his people to see the incredibleness of him. They wanted to see his glory. And they saw that. Here's the part that gets me. About 3 days later, they've already forgot. They're already grumbling and whining because we're running out of water. The same God who had rescued them in this dramatic way, who's still with them, at the moment is forgotten. What they're worried about is where they're going to get the next drink of water. As you read the story, you realize that God is actually leading them to this incredible spring with palm trees and springs. But their focus, like so many of us, shifts from the incredible, our Almighty God, and we kind of come back to the world that we live in. We kind of shift from 3D living to 2D living. There's another story that really is a little bit more incredible than that as far as peeking into this world of God. And it's about the prophet Elisha. Anybody ever heard of Elisha? You know, for the longest time, I mixed up Elisha and Elijah. They came together. They worked together. Man, I could never keep those guys straight because they both did incredible things through God's power. But Elisha came second, and there's a story in 2 Kings. In fact, all of Elisha's incredible things happen in the book of 2 Kings. But there's a story in 2 Kings right around chapter 6. And Elisha has this servant with him. And at this time, there's an army, there's a nation that's at war with Israel. And I'm going to mess up the name. It's called Aram, the nation of Aram. And so the king of Aram is out to get the Israelite army. And what he's doing is he's moving his forces in different places so he can catch the Israelite army. But every time the army gets set up, the Israelites are able to kind of scoot around them. They can never catch them. And at some point, the king of Aram decides he's got a traitor inside his forces that are giving away all his plans. And finally, his men come to him and said, "There is no traitor here, king. The problem is Elisha." And, excuse me, the Bible tells us that Elisha was able to tell the king of Israel the very words that the king of Aram said in his bedroom. And so every day he would give the king updates on where the enemy was coming, and they were always able to scoot around that. And so for that reason, the king of Aram was out to get Elisha. And so he sends his guys out, and they're looking for Elisha, and a report comes back and says, "We've found this prophet. He's in this city." And so the king sends his forces at night, and under the cover of darkness, they surround the city. And the Bible tells us that in the morning, the servant got up, and he looks out the window, and he sees the entire city surrounded by these enemy forces. And he runs to Elisha, and he says, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" There's a verse in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16, that's one of my favorites. It says, "Don't be afraid," the prophet said. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And the Bible tells us that Elisha prayed and he asked God to open the eyes of his servant. And when he did, the servant looked up and said, the Bible tells us that the hills were filled with horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha, surrounding his enemies. Okay, God's forces were in number around them. But the servant didn't know that. The servant couldn't see that because he was living in a 2D world and he was afraid. But Elisha said, let's open your eyes and let you see what's going on. The neat thing with that story is, you know, the enemy's still there. Sure, there's enemy forces or God's forces around them. But the way God delivers Elisha and the servant and the city from this enemy army is he strikes this enemy army with blindness. And when they walk up, Elisha meets them in the road and says, you're going the wrong way. You're at the wrong place. Let me show you where you need to go. And so the enemy army follows Elisha, and he leads them into the city of Samaria. And when he gets there, Elisha prays that God will open their eyes. And so their eyes are open. They realize they've just been captured. And so they've been delivered without a fight into this enemy city. And so the king there in Samaria asked Elisha, what do we need to do? Shall we kill them? And Elisha said, you know what? Feed them, give them something to drink, and send them home. And that's what they did. They fed them, they gave them something to drink, and they sent them home. And you know, they didn't have any more trouble with that band of people. Not for a long, long time. Because they saw the power of God. You know, sometimes I think if I could just see stuff like they saw it. If I could just see the hills filled with soldiers. Or if I could just see God part. Surely, there would be no doubts in my life. I would stumble with my focus on God as I live this life. You know, time and time again, we saw God's people see the miraculous, see the incredible, and they continue to fall away, they continue to stumble, they continue to focus on the world around them. And you know what? I'm not any better than those people are. And so I know that I stumble, and it doesn't matter what I see, I'm still going to have some of those troubles. I'm going to be a lot like Peter, who was walking with Jesus, looking at him on the water, incredible, living in 3D, and all of a sudden I see a wave and I get scared and I take my eyes off God and I start to sink. I'm a lot like that. I spend my time worrying about paying bills in July when the electricity is so high. I worry about finding Bible class teachers when there's nobody in the two-year-old class. Do you know what? That's 2D thinking. God calls us to think in 3D. As Christians, our hope is not of this world. Our hope is heaven. This life is temporary. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul uses his own analogy when he talks about our bodies on this earth. He says, your bodies here are just tents. They're not permanent. You don't hang pictures in tents. You don't put down marble floors in tents. It's temporary. His analogy is, you live in tents here. In there, you will be buildings created by God. That's the permanent. That's our hope. There's a verse that I'd like to read for you this morning. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 through 13. And so if you've got your Bible, you can turn there. If not, it should be on the screen. Okay. And it just reminds us again where we fit in God's plan. Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 4 through 13. Says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, and we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Through God's grace and sacrifice, we have the hope of eternal life in heaven. That's 3D thinking. Now, don't confuse hope with wish. A lot of times we kind of mix those words around in our world. As Christians, we're not wishing for heaven. My dictionary defines hope as this: to desire something, to desire something with confident expectation of its fulfillment. We can be confident of heaven. God has given us this life, but he's promised us something greater. We have a life, but we have a hope of something greater. But you know, a lot of times, like the Israelites, we lose our focus. And our focus now is on the world around us and the struggles that we have. There's a video that I love to watch because it involves four-year-olds. And I'd like to show you this clip this morning because I think it illustrates this point. In this video, these four-year-olds are given a marshmallow. Okay? Not that big, but marshmallow. And they're told, if you wait until I come back, I'll give you a second one. Then you'll have something more. You'll have something greater. But you got to wait if you want to get something greater. And it's amazing the reaction these little guys have as they're waiting on something greater, but they've got that marshmallow in their hand. So you'll give your attention to the screen. I love that video. You know, it's so much us. If you watch each kid reacted a little bit differently. You know, they all struggled. You know, that first little boy, he wanted that second marshmallow. And as much trouble as he had keeping his hands off of it, and he'd smell it and taste it or whatever, he was able to do it at the end. Other kids, I love how they would peek around and they would take it from places they didn't think the lady could see. They wanted the best of both worlds. Other kids, they just chomped right into it. That little redhead girl, she was eating it before the lady even left the room. Okay? You know, I think we're a lot like that. Some of us, we all struggle, but some of us keep our eyes focused on there. Some of us try to get the best of both worlds. We try to live in both worlds. But you know what? You can't be 3D and 2D. You can only be one or the other. And God calls us to live the life for him. You know, some of my biggest heartaches, I love Facebook. But you know, it lets me see more about people than I really want to see. You know what? It breaks my heart sometimes to see people I love that are living both worlds. And so, you know, it's an interesting thing as we try to live this life both ways. The other day on my Facebook page, I posted a deal, and they're 2D glasses. And what they're for is if you want to go to a 3D movie with your friends, it converts the movie from 3D back to 2D. And so you're going to pay $9 for a pair of 2D glasses and go to a $15 movie. But you look like you're watching a 3D movie. And you know what? I think a lot of times there are people like that. They want to look like they're Christians, but they're living in a 2D world. You know what? When you post a Bible verse on your Facebook page followed up by a horoscope, maybe in your eyes they're about the same thing. Because in a 2D world, the Bible is just a book. But for us, we know it's a lot more than that. You know, I think God has given us two very powerful tools to help us live 3D in this 2D world. And the first one is God's Word. And like I said, you know what? A 2D person, somebody who does not believe in God, does not see the power in God's holy Word, looks at the Bible, and they might see it as a book of good sayings or good ideas or good thoughts, kind of like a fortune cookie. A lot of people look at the Bible as a fairy tale. But we know that God's Word is His living Word. And He is an almighty and powerful God. And that Bible is a powerful tool for us. But here's the thing, you got to read it. It doesn't do you any good if it stays closed. The second thing that God has given us is His church. And when I say His church, I'm talking about the local congregation. I see people that kind of miss out on that. But God has given us a group of people that will encourage us when we're struggling. They will support us when we're hurting. They will teach us and educate us and equip us in the things that we need. And sometimes they'll correct us when we need it correcting. You know, this life is hard enough to live with a church family. I can't imagine living without a church family. But you know what? If you don't come to church, if you're not involved, you're going to miss out on that. So don't miss out on those two powerful tools. The last thing I want to share with you, the last 3D story is not a Bible story. It's a Greg story. And this is one of those things I'm always a little nervous about sharing. A lot of my kids here have heard this story, but they've never actually got to see the picture. I think a lot of us have 3D stories where God reveals himself in some pretty incredible ways. But God did that for me several years back. Probably like a lot of you, we have times that we're up and we have times that we're down. We have times that we wonder, God, is this where I'm supposed to be? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? How am I supposed to know? And I was in kind of one of those moods. I had been to a conference and I had discovered the Divorce Care for Kids program. And really, I had tried to ignore the booth. I walked by it. It wasn't very flashy. It was just a lady in a big green box, and I kept walking away from it. But something kept leading me back to that. And I sat down and I talked with Linda. Linda's the lady that created Divorce Care for Kids. And we really started talking about the program and all of the things that it could do to help kids who were hurting. And I left that conference thinking, I've got to do this. I mean, that is God's mission that he has put in my heart long before children's ministry was to work with kids who were hurting. So this is something I know God wants me to do. But it was expensive. It was going to be time-consuming. And I thought, yeah, there's just no way this is going to work because it's not budgeted. I was just kind of lost. And so I kind of got depressed. And then I kind of got bitter and kind of got, I didn't want. So I had a bad Saturday. And so I came to church on Sunday. And it was in the summer, so we were in adult Bible class out in the middle. And my goal was to do Bible class, go to church, and then disappear. I was just kind of in that mood. But God had other plans that day. And it still makes me a little shaky thinking about it. I got out of Bible class, and I was trying to get to my office just to kind of get some time alone. And somebody handed me a check. And that happens, not a lot, but it happens from time to time. And they said, you know, this is for your children's ministry. You know, you can use it. And so I put it in my pocket. I went back into my office. And, you know, I got in there and I opened it up. And it's like, this is the exact amount of this Divorce Care for Kids program and the shipping. And I had $5 left over. It's like, whoa, that's not supposed to happen. I didn't tell anybody. I was a little shaken. And about that time, I heard a knock on my door. And I go to the office door, and in the hallway is a group of preschoolers and their teacher. Now, I've never told their teacher this either. But one of my prayers was, God, is this where I'm supposed to be? Am I supposed to be here at 10th Abroad? Am I supposed to be somewhere else? And the kids are holding this big green poster, and I've got a picture of it. I've never showed anybody this picture before. And so it says, Greg, we're thankful for you. You know, I don't cry a lot, but I shut that door. I went in the bathroom, and I was bawling. That was the freakiest thing that I have ever had happen to me. I mean, in an instant, God had taken all of my worries and all of my struggles and said, get over it. I'm in charge. And he took care of all of it. He cleared my schedule. It was just an incredible thing. And so those little preschool handprints and their teacher, and I think a big Charlie Burnham handprint's on there too. To me, that is a letter. That is a postcard from God. And so I ended up messing up the poster, but at least I took a picture of it. And so for me, there's a lot of times in my life when I kind of struggle. I think back to that poster. You know what? I can think back to those 3D accounts. I can think back of Elisha and Moses, and I know that God is real. God is involved in our lives. God loves us, and he cares about us. So as I leave you this morning, I just want to tell you that we serve an amazing, all-powerful, all-loving God. We can be sure that he hears our prayers, he cares about us, he loves us, and that we have a Savior that died for us. As imperfect as we are, as many times as we mess up and as we stumble, that when we believe in him and we confess him, we are buried in baptism and washed, our sins are gone, and we can be confident of something greater. There's another marshmallow waiting for us at the end of this life. Because this world is not our home. Heaven is our destination. Thank you very much.